Just a few weeks ago, I was alerted to the existence of Zeitgeist the Movie. It's a movie that is available almost exclusively, I think, on YouTube, but it's been seen by millions of people on YouTube. A number of parents wrote to me very concerned about their children and their young adult children, 20 and 30-somethings, who were watching this movie and finding its arguments very persuasive. Well, what is Zeitgeist the Movie? It's a kind of conspiracy theory movie. It's about the U.S. government, it's about September 11th, and especially it's about the Christian religion. Let me give you just a little flavor of the argument of Zeitgeist the Movie. It'll line up a number of myths from the ancient world, and it'll purport to show that the basic narrative of these myths is simply repeated in Christianity. So it's a copycat theory, that Christianity simply adopted a number of features from these ancient myths. For example, you look at the Egyptian myth of the god Horus, and the claim is made by Zeitgeist the Movie that Horus is the son of God, Horus is born of a virgin, Horus is baptized, Horus is crucified and rises from the dead. Or you look at the Greek myth of Dionysus, and you'll find a similar pattern. He's the son of a god, he is born of a virgin, he's crucified, rises from the dead. And then look across to the Indian myth of Krishna, and you'll find the claim is made something very similar. This divine human figure, born of a virgin, crucified, resurrected. Well, the claim then is, well, we're just a pathetic copycat version of these ancient myths. Now, here's the problem, though, is the more closely you look at this, you'll find that many of the supposed parallels are at best forced, and in many cases, simply made up out of whole cloth. Take the time to look at serious scholarship. Take the time to look up the myth of Horus, and you'll find something else. See, the problem is, we all know the Christian story, but very few in the West know the Horus story, or the Krishna story, or the Dionysus story. So we kind of take it, yeah, I guess there really are these parallels. But look more closely. What do you find? Horus, for example, I'll grant this, is the son of a god. He's the son of the god Osiris. But Horus is not born of a virgin. Horus is not baptized. Horus is not crucified. His father, Osiris, is dismembered. That's part of the myth. Then later put back together. So he, if you want, is put to death and then resurrected in that very vague sense. But not Horus. Look at the story of Dionysus. Dionysus is the son of a god. That's true. But his mother is hardly a virgin. And Dionysus is not crucified. He's torn to bits by the Titans. And then, a bit like Osiris, he's reassembled. He's put back together. It's only in that vaguest sense would you talk about crucifixion or resurrection. Look at the story of Krishna. Krishna, too, is not born of a virgin. Krishna is crucified only if you think being pierced by an arrow through the foot is crucifixion. So, in other words, these supposed parallels are at best forced. We might find a little hint of something here, and it's like what we find in Christianity. But in many cases, they're simply made up. Now, I've just mentioned a few features. There are many other features that I could debunk, too. If you look back at these myths and you see all the parallels lined up, there are many others I could debunk. But in the short time we have, I want to make this general point. There's a major distinction between the nature of mythic literature and the nature of biblical literature. Myths are literary expressions of the great natural necessities, or they're literary expressions of great fundamental political and social realities. And they serve thereby a very important function. They help people to understand their position in the world. A very good example is the Osiris-Horus myth. The Osiris-Horus cycle is all about the ebbing and flowing of the Nile. It's about the natural rhythms and necessities that make Egyptian life possible. They're also about the majesty of the pharaonic government. So they're ways of helping people understand these basic necessities of life. So I think you can find that across the board with mythic literature. And again, I like the myths. The myths are great. But the Bible is different. Look, for example, precisely because the myths celebrate the natural necessities, they celebrate the glories of social realities, the myths tend to deify these things. So you find in mythic cultures a tendency to deify nature or to deify the civil government. Then there is the Bible. The Bible does the opposite. The Bible is eminently clear that the heavens proclaim the glory of God, and the rhythms of the earth can speak of God the Creator, but the earth is not God. More to it, the king can be a representative of Yahweh. The king can be the anointed of Yahweh, but the king is not God, and the government's not God. The Bible is suspicious of this mythic move. And the major stress in the Bible is upon history. The God who speaks in a definitive way to this people, Israel, cutting across, if you want, the natural necessities, breaking into the rhythms of nature, and now speaking in historical persons and events. And the prime example of this, of course, is Jesus himself. Jesus is not a mythic figure. Look again at Horus, Dionysus, Osiris, Krishna, many others. They exist in a kind of vague, distant past. The great scholar Mircea Eliade talked about in illo tempore, in that time, way back when, you know, like in a galaxy far, far away. That kind of language signals a mythic story. Then there's Jesus. Jesus is a relatively recent historical figure. He was born when Quirinius was governor of Syria, a figure we can identify, when Augustus was emperor of Rome. We know lots about Augustus. He died when Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor of Judea, a figure that we can easily identify independently. There are witnesses outside the Bible who speak of Jesus. We have these vividly concrete historical accounts of Jesus, the Gospels. The point is, he doesn't fit into the mythic framework of these other figures. And something else I think is really important. You have very concrete individuals like Peter, like Paul, like John, like James, these first Christians, who went to the ends of the world, who went to their deaths proclaiming the truth of what they had seen and heard in Jesus Christ. You don't have missionaries of Horus. How come? Horus is not a particular figure whose particular historical story people have to know. Horus is a generic mythic figure. You don't have missionaries of Dionysus, but you do have missionaries of Jesus. And that signals a major difference between the different systems. So don't be bamboozled by Zeitgeist, the movie. Like Bill Maher's movie, Religious, like Christopher Hitchens' book, like Richard Dawkins' book, it's one more example of a mean-spirited, poorly argued, and easily refuted attack on Christianity.